This is Infection, the Survival Podcast, recorded live on Tuesday, May 24th, 2016, Episode 71. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Infection, the Survival Podcast. Infection is your source for the latest information on survival video games. We bring you the latest news, reviews, updates, and more each and every week. My name is Nick Craig, at Nicholas M. Craig is my Twitter. InfectionPodcast.com is a website. Joining me, Brian with a beard, Aldridge. What's going on, Brian?
Thank you. Hey, what's up? If you want to find me, at Boise Computer on Twitter, or check out my blog, biteoftech.com. That's with an I, biteoftech. And then, of course, definitely go to our website. We have our Steam group. We have our TeamSpeak. Even if you don't consider yourself a part of our clan, you can come hang out in our TeamSpeak. More than happy. If you don't have your own TeamSpeak, or you go hang out in those weird public ones, come to yeah, our, like, we'll make you some channels.
Yeah, like TeamSpeak public server 4, or it's just like 4,000
yeah.
people.
It's like, oh, we're going to go to this group, you know, this channel way down on the list.
Yeah, and then everybody jumps in and trolls you because, I mean, what yep. else do you have better to do?
Yeah. So you're more than welcome to come join us. But if you're not in our Steam group by now, just get in there. Gravity Beard finally added me on Steam. I'm like, what's taking you so long? I didn't realize he wasn't my friend on there.
Oh,
he's in here every week, and he finally friends me this week.
So, speaking of Gravity, well, actually, we'll get into that in a little bit. Here's the thing: who uses TeamSpeak when there's Discord? Discord is awful. We used Discord, and it was awful. Nobody wanted to use it. The links are 24 hours. It wasn't fun. It wasn't good. Nobody was ever logged. The whole point of Discord is people are always logged in.
We have our own server. We have the ability to have our own server.
But nobody was logged in. That was the whole point with Discord. It was like nobody was logged into it. Like it was me and Joe constantly. Me and Joe were the only two people ever logged into it. Yeah, there we go. So it didn't make any sense. Oh, you can change the 24-hour links now. See, that when we used it, that was just a 24-hour link. So there was really no way to... maybe we should check it out again. Maybe we need to look at Discord again.
I mean, either way.
Well, something. Just, I mean, it's
for me, it's another app.
Yeah, it's something to look at. So, this week we played Unreal Tournament.
We hosted our own server.
Brian hosted his own server. Didn't bother telling me that he was hosting his own server. And then we started playing. But it was fun. It was a lot of fun. Yeah. You only played a few games.
Yeah, my wife was home, and so I was going to spend time with her. So I played a couple games and then backed out.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Towards the end, I left because I was just getting wrecked.
Right before I left, I started hearing that like these really experienced players started coming in and just... killing everybody.
So that happened on one of the servers somebody joined your server and was he was like experienced and just started destroying us and it wasn't even fun. But other than that, a lot of those guys had played it last week and this was my first time playing it. So I mean, by the end, I kind of had a sort of. Kind of idea.
Kind of
what
figure
to
out
do.
What your favorite weapon is. And
yeah,
just
and then we were doing this game mode where it was like one hit kills with the sniper, and I was, I'm awful at the game, absolutely awful. But now speaking of games that I'm awful at, I'm probably not even going to partake in this next game of the week, probably because I won't be around and I'm really awful at it. But we're playing Counter-Strike Global Offensive,
so
CS:GO, which. I hope none of the CS:GO guys in our group show up because that will just be a slaughterhouse.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those definitely skill-based games. Oh, like if you don't know what you're doing.
No, you have absolutely
I don't play it very often, and I always hate going in because you're playing against these people that this is all they do. Every day they play CS:GO.
Yeah. So we're playing CS:GO this week. I think most people have CS:GO. But if you don't, you can get CS:GO. I don't think it's very expensive. It's $10, maybe $12, something like that. It's pretty inexpensive. So get that.
I might put a server together just so we don't get thrown in the mix with everyone.
Okay.
We don't have our pro strats. When we kept having people that play CS:GO constantly and they'd come into our TeamSpeak and they'd be they just make channels called Pro Stats. And I don't know if that's like a joke or if it's like they're working on these pro strats.
I'm not into the I'm not hip in the CS:GO scene. Yeah, I'm not in the CS:GO scene. So I mean the source servers are kind of a pain in the ass to host. They used to be a pain. Maybe they've updated it.
Okay, so talking about the Unreal Tournament one.
Yeah, how did that go?
They have two different types of servers. So they have what used to be your normal server of, all right, you're starting up and it's playing this map now, and then it's moving on to this map. It's got like a playlist of maps. Now they have what they call hubs.
Which are cool.
And the hub just lets you say, all right, what kind of a server do you want to do?
Well,
what
hub
kind of
is game? Multiple. You can have like six or seven games. It'll actually, I think you can have 10.
I think I have it to where it could spin up 10 different instances to where you get to have people playing whatever game they want. But you can, before you start it, pick whatever type you want, the map you want, everything. So it's just 100% flexible.
Yeah. And that was cool. We played a bunch of different game modes. We did some Capture the Flag. We just did some regular, like, you know, 1v, not 1v1s, but like, no, every man for themselves, TDMs, just random death matches. It was good. So,
yeah, we should do it the week after. They're talking about Garry's Mod.
Yeah, we could do Garry's Mod.
We had a lot of fun with the Garry's Mod when we did it with the clan last time.
Yeah, except you can't really host your server for Garry's Mod. Well, I mean, you can, but you have to install the plugins and stuff. So we could do invade a triple T server. That would be fun until we all get banned for RDMing.
Musty's saying he thought that this week was supposed to be Garry's Mod. I don't remember.
The calendar says otherwise, so.
Okay. Well, let's plan on Garry's Mod the week after.
Yeah, exactly. All comments and concerns, all complaining about Game of the Week, you can forward to Landgun44 because it's his thing.
That's nice. So you can just pass the buck.
Yeah, because hey, man, I don't really like the game. It's like, well, it's not my game. So CS:GO this week, maybe Gmod next week.
We'll talk to him and make sure, because, I mean, if he doesn't have it, that's going to throw a wrench in his
Game
of the Week. Streaming.
So we'll see. So CS:GO this week, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, twitch.tv/langon44. Our team speaks infectionpodcast.com, and we'll see you in game. Yep. All right. Let's see. Anything else from this?
All right.
Week?
So do we want to go right on to
I don't think I have anything. No, I don't have anything for this week, so I guess we can go on to ARK news. And by the way, lots of people playing ARK this week, and there is a reason why, but lots of people playing ARK. So what do we have here, Brian?
All right, so they announced, I think, right after last week's stream. Remember, they didn't really have any news. So
we're waiting for the news. We're always waiting for the news.
I was waiting for the news, and so I jumped the gun a little bit, but there is a slight variation, or there's something they put in, because they always either change what it is. So they made it so the anonymous dedicated server package that's pretty much when you download the server information to run your own private server. Mm-hmm. The file that it downloads is now 4 gigabytes. It was 30 gigabytes before.
Wow.
I don't know what they did. I don't know how they went from 30 to 4. But that, you know, that's pretty nice for
pretty
running
nice
updates.
That's unbelievable.
Running an update that's a big thing for running an update when before it was having to check 30 gigabytes worth of files to see what needed to update. Now it only has to check 4. So that's a huge difference. And then other than that, I think everything else was the same on that patch. Cause that was the 241 that I was giving a teaser to last week. So they added everything else on that, but then they started doing patches on this major revision because 240 would be the major revision. Now there was an issue in 241.1. So this was May 17th.
Okay.
They had an issue that caused flyers to temporarily lose their saddles and then fall through the structures upon reloading. So I haven't gone and looked in the server to see if all of our flyers have fallen through and lost their saddles. That may be possible. So they were saying that they should upgrade to 241 as soon as possible and then possibly do a rollback of the save data, which I didn't do. It's too late now. I mean, it's been so many updates. I guess to fix that. So they did that on the official servers. And so they said also there was an issue with the ability to upload and download data via obelisks on the center. So I guess that's a feature. So unfortunately, due to changes we made to our save data work, you you won't be able to download data from the island to Obelisk. So, the center. So that's an issue that they had with 241.1. But that's the only major. That's a pretty big bug for them. Usually they don't let things fall through the cracks like that. Now the center on 241.2, and this was on the 19th, so this was 5 days ago, the structure placement, like they had teleport, collision issues, dyno difficulty curves, and they had a bunch of fixes. I guess when you do something fresh, you know, they'd taken what was a mod and made it this. So they're kind of fixing all the stats of everything, making everything work in probably like the island does. So the client for the center wasn't working properly on Max, which I know is impossible. They fixed general case where you could place structures within world geometry. So you actually were able to place it in the world, which you weren't supposed to do. They generated low distance field data for the rest of the center world geometry meshes. So this is that created a one-time large update. So pretty much they did something to the whole map. So it did one big update for the center. And if you don't have if you're not subscribed or you don't have this add-on, you're not going to see these things. It's not part of the main client. And then they saved some RAM on non-Shader Model 5 platforms by discarding unneeded distance field data. So it's more rendering stuff. And then they reduced the wild compy HP damage by 50%. So I think this is server-wide, so this wouldn't be just the center. They've been doing a lot of center news. This is for the regular game as well. So the compies, I mean, I don't know if you ever get surrounded by those things.
Oh,
they can kill you really quick.
Yeah, they're a real pain.
So they're making them weaker, and then they reduce their damage. So that was 241.2. And then 241.3, so this was on the 20th, they fixed ocean spawners continually overflowing spawning on the center. They fixed a case where you could improperly use vault drops, and then an official PvE server now, all official PvE servers now have a decay of 0.25 time and 0.5 structure resource blocking radius multiplier. So, they it looks like they lower the decay and then they make it so you can't build as closely to things. 241.4, and this was a small patch, but, they fixed Dino PvE auto claim time multipliers to use a separate command line. So you can go in there and say, I want to have my Dino decay be different for on PvE servers. So rather than the structure auto claim time multiplier, because before the auto claim for a building and the dinosaur were the same. So now they're separating it out so you can make them different. And that was a 25%. I think it says we have set all official PvE servers to 25% auto claim for the duration. So they changed that on the regular servers. And then the final one for this week is 241.5. They added a dash insecure command line parameter so you can disable VAC, the banning for Steam banning VAC on the servers. So it won't do that. Also, they added a launch option. Enable idle player kick so that if a player hasn't moved in a certain period of time, you can have it kick them from the server. So that was something they did, but that was an unversion, but they added it at the same time. So that's pretty much it for the week. So that was what, six updates, I think.
Yeah. And the last, like, what was the last, like, three of them? Like, were really, they were just kind of like one little one liners.
They're fixing like server, oh, we should have this. And they're kind of probably some things that they had on the back burner. Like, oh, we need to add this command line.
Yeah, exactly.
They're just throwing them in there for this.
So
probably because they're going to have to do them twice. Like they need to get them into the center now rather than doing the fix twice while the code's pretty much there.
Yeah, so this is a screenshot they have for the center. And I would imagine that this was the cause of the player spike. Maybe people are really hyped to check.
They want to go check it out.
Yeah, I didn't. I don't know if you did, Brian. I just didn't.
I haven't yet.
Yeah, no reason I didn't do it. I didn't. So, that's the center. If anybody's played the center,
it looks really nice.
Yeah, it does. It looks great.
You got to think they added. They're starting to fix. We talked about some of the different landscape changes they're going to be doing on the regular map. But you got to think that map has been that map since the beginning.
Yeah.
So this map was able to use all the latest things and figure out what players liked and start from scratch. So, our guess has been that maybe this is going to be the future to where they're going to kind of gravitate away from the island And then give more to these. Okay, find what player maps are really popular that people have made and start pushing those so that, you know, okay, we'll make officials of these, but then they're not in charge of making all these maps and updating these maps. They can just create the sandbox that people play and let people make what they want to make.
Yeah, and Jay DeLoria is saying it's a nice map, it's big, and Bravo is saying it's an awesome map, so I guess people are enjoying it. Then, you know, Joe makes the case, I think it was Joe. Oh, no, I'm sorry, it was PHVCK. It says that the game got pretty boring pretty fast, and then Musty brings up the fact that you do need a group. I feel that you need a group to play. I mean, you don't need one, but I feel like your experience is
it's a better game.
It's just it's a much more in-depth experience if you can get a group of like-minded people in there and playing. That just seems to be the that's my opinion, but that you know, I think I played with a group and I feel like you would need a group to play that game. You really can't get much done without a group. In a decent amount of time. So,
well, I mean, once you get to a certain point, you've done most of what you're going to do.
I mean,
so
we did
keep adding content.
We did everything in what, 3 weeks? I mean, pretty much everything that we could have done in 3 weeks. I mean, we tamed the,
other than just making a bigger base.
Yeah. We tamed T-Rex. We had the bird. We had
everything but a giga.
So we had on
the regular server or on, you know, the official server.
Yeah, so we had everything that we really could do in 2 weeks. Not 2 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks. I mean, we played the hell out of that game.
Yeah, we did. That's the problem too, is you sit there and you play games so much that you're going to hit that content.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to hit whatever. And the fact that they really discourage PvP for the most part, like everybody's all trying to hold hands and hold hands.
It's not that they don't discourage PvC. It's that the people that play,
that have a lot of stuff are like, oh, we don't want a PvP because they already have everything.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and so it just creates a weird environment.
It does.
And so I think that they need to come up with either a way to have PvP where you don't lose everything, or the only route of PvP is not just destroying everything that everyone else has, because that's pretty much all the PvP is.
Yeah. What's going on?
You don't really run across people out. And if you do run across somebody and shoot them, like, everybody gets butt hurt and says, I'm going to go kill you.
Yeah, I'm going to blow everything you have up.
So
that's the art.
I put some art.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
This is one of their developers, one of their artists. I just wanted to kind of show, you know, these are the kind of things they're working on. If you look at that, like, that looks really good.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Those are just going to be mixed in throughout the map, but they put a lot of detail into that. And so I just figured I'd show that's something they're working on right now. You know, just a stump of a tree. But if you look, I mean, it's pretty much exact. So, and then another thing that they teased towards this last week is some of the lore for Ark. So they have a link that pretty much shows the ruins that they're looking at putting in. So this is going to be what unfolds the story of what's happening in the Ark. Things you can loot. There's supposedly going to be some sort of a message or note logs in there that you can go look through and see an explanation of what led to you being there today. So they've got a jungle one, one that's kind of up in the snow area. So these are just some of the different looks and pre-made buildings, because they haven't really had any of those other than those obelisks that are sitting there.
Yeah, everything else is just player-made.
Everything else is just, it was player-made. So these are going to be some things that are actually pre-made, that are a hint of what used to be that has pretty much gone away. So, and then the flowing lava they showed at the end, which we haven't really seen. So,
cool stuff coming from Ark. A lot of people playing it, which is an accurate indication. A lot of people are playing it. So,
It's maintained numbers. So,
yeah, people are playing it, and I mean they got to be enjoying it. When we get to the numbers later, they really seem to be enjoying it. So, that's what's going on with Ark. Now, doing a switch over to H1Z1. We had actually the most news from Daybreak in a week that we've had in
a long time.
A very long time. I'm not going to speculate on the time, but it's been a very long time since we've had this much news. And I'm just going to start off with the biggest thing was that, and a lot of this stuff is the same because it's current posts and then, like, in the future posts and references to the old posts. So I'm going to try to hit everything kind of in order, and I'm going to kind of go off their script thing here. So the first thing is the Ignition game mode is now live. It went live on Friday, May 20th at 3 a.m. Actually, 3 a.m. on Saturday, I believe. No, I'm sorry. It went live 3 a.m. on 3 a.m. on Friday, so it was available Friday during the day. So Ignition is up, and I'll cover some of the stuff that Ignition does later on because they've got a little better of a write-up on that. So this is for King of the Kill. This is the producer update, and there are some UI flow changes. So as of right now, currently the current UI is kind of being changed. So it's going to filter down to now it's going to be Battle Royale, Battle Royale Team 2 or 5, Battle Royale Zombies, Ignition, and then the Skirmish game mode when that's available. It's not available yet, but that's what it'll be when that's ready.
So they took away the Battle Royale button.
Yeah, the Battle Royale button is gone. First of all, it's not even called Battle Royale anymore. So I don't know why Battle Royale is still listed on there.
So you just pick a game that you want to play and then click Join Game.
Exactly.
That's how they're doing it.
Which I mean, is kind of how it should be anyway. At the end of the match, the Play Again button that, I guess I've never even clicked it, so I didn't know it didn't do anything.
No. Okay, so the Play It Again button was pretty much one of your only options. It just took you back to the main menu anyways.
Was that what the button is called?
Yeah, it said Play Again.
Oh, really?
It just took you back to the main menu, so there was no Play Again.
Interesting.
It didn't put you back in with your group. It didn't do anything. That's why they said that it didn't do what you expected it to do.
I didn't even... I honestly thought it was something else, because, yeah. Interesting. That's odd.
Yeah, so they had... So it's just like exit to main, because that's all it was anyways.
Yeah, exactly. And then they say that
they had like a quit, and then they had a play again, and they both did the same thing.
Yeah, and they say in the future there may be a whole new different flow there, so they may change that.
Yeah, well, they'd have to be pretty stupid not to do requeue with your current team.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Get back in the lobby of my current team. Yeah. Even if they're still alive, get in the lobby. And then... get the whole thing where you can be in the lobby and watching your players play, like be the third person. Like they got to, or not the third, you know, but the spectator cam. They yeah. really got to work that out.
So the next thing is team games. And this is actually pretty big news here. This is great for people that play a lot of King of the Kill and people that play the Just Survive and play with other friends and they're in a group. So this is the news here. When you are in a King of the Kill with teammates or when you're in Just Survive with a group of people, actually in the group system itself, they have added an outline that is rendered on each character on your team or in your group. This will be visible through objects, walls, and other obstructions. And so this is for Just Survive. It's in King of the Kill now for the Ignition. Not for the Ignition. It's in King of the Kill now, and it will be in Just Survive, but it's not in there yet.
So this is where, like, if you get into a vehicle, I'm assuming that this is a fix for that. You get in the vehicle, you can't see a name tag, you can't see if they're on your team.
Well, no, I don't know.
Through glass, you can't see.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. This is the fix for that. Yeah. I see what you're saying.
Now you'll be able to see the outline of your person inside the vehicle and know, okay, that person. Because exactly. We had that happen last time when we played, not this past Let's Play, but the week before that, to where someone said, oh, I'm going to be pulled in with a Jeep. And so someone pulled into the area with his Jeep, and then instantly some of our teammates shot him just because There's no way to tell that person's on your team.
Yeah. So this is really big. I don't think this was kind of really, this was far down on, this is like the second to last thing on this note. This is a really big deal that this is going to be in here. So now there's going to be an outline around the players. This is really big news. So, I can't wait to really see that.
Hopefully it works correctly. And that's why it'd be fun to go in there and play and just to make sure, because that makes a huge difference. We've had a number of players die just because this does not work. Yeah. Shooting through glass, because you see somebody just on the other side of a window.
Yeah.
You know, you shoot at them. Oh, sorry, I didn't realize you're on my team.
Yeah. So other big news, again, it's even lower on the list, is the synced match starts, which we talked a whole lot about last week. That is now live in both Battle Royale and the Ignition game mode. That is now live. So you'll see that now. This was an interesting stat in this note. It says that their data shows that more than 90% of all the players load faster than 45 seconds.
The
cap is 45 seconds. So, I mean, unless you've got either really crappy internet or a really crappy computer, or you're just, you know, the game locks up, you'll get in this. And
the internet in China is not always good. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So rewards, there's a few stuff. There's a whole lot of stuff with rewards. They're saying how in the new scrimmage game mode, they're going to distribute this stuff differently so that it doesn't incentivize teaming, which is a big issue. Then they talk about how you will now receive a loot bag drop, like a crate drop, for spending time in the game. And all the bags will be different until you get them all. So they go back and forth with that, and they say, you know, as a reminder, teaming of any kind is prohibited. And then their email, h1z1cheaters@daybreakgames.com, if you see something a little fishy going
now,
on.
Now,
why
don't they put on the rules of the inside of the starter area? Why don't they put on there teaming is not allowed?
Yeah, I mean, where those stupid leaderboards are that don't
It pretty
work.
Much says that the rule is that there is no rules, you know, whatever it is. Is the thing it says. It doesn't say anything about you're not allowed to team.
Yeah, but it's in the
offline. Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, but it's now like they're expecting to go offline. Look,
no, I mean,
just put it. You have a list. It's a board that says the rules.
Yeah,
and it says there are no rules. I mean, just
I guess.
I mean, put the rule up there. I mean, if that's your big concern is people teaming, just say.
Well, it's not. I mean, that's not.
There's
really
a possibility of you that if you team, you're going to get banned.
I mean, people are always going to team, but I think the whole point of what they're saying here is de-incentivizing the teaming.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big deal. If there's no incentive, then people won't do it. So then the other thing is the force scope, which we again talked a whole lot about last week, which I'm not going to go into again because it's irrelevant. But then the recent bug fixes are the bombing run tuning so that the area is not filled with bombs, which is always an issue. And that was live last Friday. Jumping and entering a vehicle could result in crazy shaking. Shaky characters in the vehicle. This was a bug. It was fixed. And then seat swapping is now fixed. So there you go. That was the May 18th producer update. And then after that, we had a King of the Kill game update, which includes the new Ignition game mode. And the features of Ignition, if you haven't heard of it now, are that players are lowered into a battle royale from a helicopter on an ATV. So you're on an ATV. Everybody spawns on an ATV. The helicopters will hover over the safe zones and mark them with green lights. If you're not inside the safe zone, you die instantly. There's no like green gas, like, oh, slowly, 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 I can stay alive. Like, you instantly die. The safe zones are locked for 30 seconds at the end of each round. Special airdrops are now available at the end of each round as well, marked by a purple smoke. And then the ATVs have been retuned for better handling and have turbo now, so you can turbo in the ATVs.
Nice.
That was for Ignition. Now, some of the King of the Kill features is they updated match rewards, which we just talked about. In the 2 and 5 man BRs, teammates will now be outlined, talked about that. Science have now been adding to the box of Destiny featuring the game mode information and tips. So it doesn't say rules, but it does say information and
okay,
tips.
So they must have put in there.
But it doesn't, you know, it doesn't say rules, it just says information and tip. It says mode information, so maybe.
They should put on their tip. Looking to get banned? Team.
Yeah, there you go. Brian's tip of the week with don't team or you'll die. New loading screens have been added for Battle Royale and Ignition as well. Some gameplay improvements. Hip fire has also been retuned to make firing while moving and jumping less accurate, which, God, I feel like we talked about like a month and a half ago now.
Is they say, oh, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
We're going to do this.
So this
we're going to do it.
Yeah, this is implemented and that's working now. It's no longer possible to change seats in a moving vehicle. That's good news. Shotgun still working on that, which is fine. They're tuning it. Shot distribution should now be more consistent. Shotgun damage will fall off based on distance. I thought that's what it did before. So, yeah. I mean, that's how a shotgun works. But I'm not sure what that is.
Probably just goes into infinity until it hits something or off the map.
Bombing runs have been retuned and should cause less chaos, which is great news. Hopefully, though, that actually works because those things are a real pain. Improvements to hit registration, added more vehicles to the spawns in Cranberry, which is good. Kevlar is now called Body Armor. A few visuals that we have here. Incoming hit indicator is more visible. Parachutes have a new animation, which we covered in May's or in April's producer.
And Bravo PT put a screenshot in our chat of that in action. So
that's not the new one, though. That's the old one.
No, that's the new one.
Is it really?
If you look at like it's got the lines, right?
The old
because
one
remember,
had the lines.
They have it now like way, going to the wind. So I think it just miscalculated and the ripple effect that it was supposed to be doing went crazy.
Yeah, so total screw up with a parachute there. Toxic gas should be less dense slash opaque. Again, thought that was already worked on, but I guess not. Molotovs have a new explosion effect. We always see a lot of fire in the art wraps, so I would assume that's something implemented from one of those.
We probably have seen that in one of those art wraps or whatever they're implementing here.
Definitely. New vehicle effects, including tire trails, which is good. So I would imagine if you stop really quick, you know, that black, the black lines that will follow the tire, and explosion effects, which, again, we've seen time and time again. Now going on to audio, victory music. This is some little stuff, Brian, that I think is really important to your this section of immersion that you always talk about. I feel like this is a little more immersion for you. So victory music has been added during the celebration sequence for the winners. So besides the winner chicken dinner, you should now hear some type of triumphant music. Maybe I'm not really sure what it's going to be.
They should do the whole scene from Star Wars where they're walking down the at the end receiving their award. I could just do something really crazy.
Yeah, there you go. That'd be great. Music added to the box of Destiny, which I don't know why they're adding music to the box of Destiny, because there was already a whole lot of sweet ass music from people just spamming stuff into their microphone.
Now, do I get? Yeah, I mean, there was always music. Now, do I hear this music if I have the box of Destiny?
Yeah,
muted?
I think this is going to be some, like, right now there's no sound in the box of Destiny.
They should do some like elevator music.
Yeah, I think that's what I would. I imagine that's what it's going to be. Right now, there's no ambient sounds besides like cars crashing and blowing up and stuff like that. So I would imagine it's just going to be some, like, maybe it'll just be like the background music of the game, but added to the box of Destiny, just something to.
Yeah, it's probably just some general.
It's just music. Background music. Exactly. It's not like it's going to be like top 40s hits radio. It's just going to be some general music. They added stingers added to the ignition to indicate time remaining.
Now, what about the vehicle? So they said that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I totally missed that. New vehicle audio for bottoming out and the helicopter.
So I guess when it goes off a jump or something and lands.
Yeah, like when you're driving down the side of a cliff. When you're driving down the side of a cliff and you just bottom out on a rock there. Actually, I have a stinger. I think I have a stinger on here. Let's see. Do I have a stinger, Brian? Like, this would be an example of a stinger, like some audio cue that goes out. So stingers added to indicate time remaining in new rounds. So like a sound that would indicate how done. Exactly. That's a stinger, something like that. A little audio indication is added for time remaining.
There you go. Daybreak Agreement says daybreak radio in the box of Destiny.
I would love to have our show piped in for 2 hours on Tuesdays. I think that would
people be like, where's the mute button? Oh, it's like an Asian screaming.
They'll unmute so that they can actually, it'll drown out the audio.
If you mute, like, you have to listen to us. Otherwise, you have to unmute and then you can hear everyone else screaming and yelling.
Yeah, exactly. New rifle sounds, new near miss sounds, new ambient sounds. They're adding a lot of sounds. This is really good.
Well, they haven't worked on the sounds for quite. I mean, they've done a few things here and there, but for the most part, they must have just hired a sound guy.
No sounds and no graphics. I mean, right now it's like the winner screen is literally a gray opaque box, and it just says you have won, and then your awards are just like bloop bloop bloop. That's it. Like, there's
When I used to dig through the game files, I'd look at the quality of some of their graphics that they were using, and this just looks like stuff they pulled off of Google image search. Like, just a picture of you know, whatever it is that then they kind of wrapped around really loosely, and they didn't even bother touching it up or making it look better. Like, they just took a really low, like, for the bread, it's just like a picture of a piece of bread that just doesn't even look right. Like, they just wrapped it around. It's just a mess.
Is that the bread
That's
that
looks,
looks
like salmon?
The bread that looks like salmon. I made that
because
Photoshop.
Because if you look, it's actually a picture of, like, they pulled from Google image search of a piece of bread, and then they wrapped it around, and it's not made to wrap around that object.
Yeah. And
so it's horrible.
Yeah. And then, I mean, this is currently what we have for in-game. Like, this is the screen that I'm talking about for the in-game stuff. I mean, this is how it looks when you die.
And this is from Bravo PT. Like, that UI design.
You know what this is, Brian?
I mean, no offense, but an intern could have made that in 20 minutes.
Right here is literally when you go into Photoshop and click gradient. That is the default.
Like, do a gradient. It's and like, then they did, but it's default. Shadow, but it's not, yeah, it's just a default drop shadow. Notice it's not to the object.
Yeah, like, yeah, like
it's what, just a, here, there's an object. Like, here. What we'll is do a drop?
Yeah,
shadow.
Really. Like, I didn't think the crown would have a square box just like the drop bag shadow.
Does
yeah.
If you look like yeah, all that is like, hey, let's make a box and then let's put you know, a 1 pixel black. I mean, you could do this in CSS in about 15 minutes.
But it's not even that. It's just the fact that, like, but, the, you know, here's the thing. In their defense, they did show the new one in the last art wrap, and it was cool. It was this fly-in that said, like, Battle Royale. Yeah. It was a bunch of different layers, and it looked really good. So that I'm fine with. But just right now, it's just, like, your stats, it's just, like, green text and then just two white text boxes with...
Yeah.
The information. It's very, there's no,
CK says it could have been worse. They could have used Comic Sans.
Comic Sans is a great
I'm
font.
Just thinking some of that font throughout the
a little, I need a little more Comic Sans in my life. But again, I did it to play, even though I brought this up to play devil's advocate on it, the other side of this is they're trying to develop a game, and visuals are important, I would also retrospectively be really pissed off if the game was like had all these like cool transitions and effects and flying graphics and all these cool audio effects, but the game was like unplayable completely. So
yeah. Now yeah, they could. I mean, it could be one guy's job that every Friday.
Like, no, but he, nothing would get done
every Friday.
No, nothing. Okay, would get done.
Every Friday I'm gonna try to make the UI look a little.
No,
bit
but
better.
Here's the thing, Brian. Here's the thing, and while that's a great idea. Practically, when the deadline is Friday, that would be your Friday leisure time that would need to be spent doing that. But when there's constantly, and I'm just gonna, when there's shit constantly breaking and going wrong, that Friday, oh, let's make stuff look a little bit better, is going to get scrapped 9 out of 10 weeks. Obviously, with the audio, they had to have hired. Well, so you can't just Jim from accounting to do the audio. Like that's a more specialized thing. I mean, they could have, but that's a more specialized thing that I would imagine they consulted with somebody.
I mean, that's a whole art. I mean, that's its own department sitting there, and there's a lot of technique to that. So maybe they finally just hired on a guy because it could be possible they made all their graphics and then they just been buying their sounds. And maybe they've just been buying individually. Oh, we need this sound. Okay, let's go buy one that sounds like that.
Yeah, I mean, you can buy that from like Audio Jungle.
Yeah, now finally they're getting somebody in there that's going to fine tune. But they should be doing the same thing. They have a guy who does the audio. They need somebody who does the UI. You know what I'm saying? Like, it shouldn't be that it's just, when someone else happens to get to it, we'll do the UI. There should be a guy that he's making the UI everything. Because if you look at other games, we wouldn't accept this. Like, take a look at Overwatch.
Yeah.
Look at the UI in that. Like, amazing. I mean, if they had the UI of H1Z1 in Overwatch, what would you think?
Yeah, I mean, that would be crazy. But
why do we expect so much less from a company that was Sony Online?
No, it's not that it's not that I'm expecting less, Brian. That's the thing. But this is an early access alpha game. And honestly, while I'd like to have better graphics, it really doesn't at this point. Like, it's not like, oh man, I'm not playing H1Z1 because of the graphics. Yes, the graphics are garbage, but I would much rather have the improvements going into the parachute system, the shotgun distribution, the hipfire retuning, all this other stuff that before adding like, you know, BS stingers and stuff to the game. They're nice, but could you imagine if the game looked beautiful and like, you like your arm was still coming out of your back, like that was a common issue. Like, could you imagine if that was still the thing?
Yeah,
I don't know.
But the thing is, part of this is their engine. I mean, you talk about the shotgun thing.
Graphics isn't their engine.
But if you look at what you can do in Unreal Engine, like you can just put in a blueprint that says, "All right, your shotgun. Here's your what's your distribution of the shotgun? What's the fall off length of the shotgun?"
And I don't want to get back into the engine thing.
It's just drop down boxes that you can put, and then that's how your shotgun works. I don't know why they're constantly struggling with this shotgun. It shouldn't be that hard. Yeah. It should be set numbers.
See, gravity's
why
got
are they
exactly
constantly fixing it.
I get it. Well, because they're tweaking it. It's early access.
I mean, the fall off, like this should all be set numbers of. they're constantly saying, oh, the shotgun's not working right. It's not shooting. It's not killing fast enough. Oh, it's killing too fast. It's just figure it out.
It should be
a certain distance. That's what the shotgun fires.
Yeah.
It seems like they're constantly going back and forth with it. They just need to pick one. Like, play around with it for an afternoon until you find what seems to be a reasonable range. They're always way off.
Damn. All right. Chill out there, Brian. I get it.
It should be a thing that they can fix. Just like with a 308. Like, okay, there's professionals that shoot that you could ask them what should be the drop-off level of a 308. You know, what's the velocity of it? These are all set numbers. Like, it's scientific. The drop-off of all this stuff and the rates that they're flying.
I'm sure you could just get it online.
Wikipedia. Look it up in Wikipedia. How far does a 308 bolt with average grain? You know what I'm saying? Like, if the gunpowder is an average grain, what's going to be the drop-off rate? Look that up and put that in the game. Like, that's realistic.
Damn. All right. I get it.
It just frustrates me that they don't do the simple things right.
I hear what you're coming from.
They're just giving all these patch notes of, oh, we fixed this again.
No, because every goddamn month, it's the same. No, you're right. I mean, it's the same thing every month. It's the same. Fix the shotgun month after month. January, February, March, April, May, June, mm-hmm. July. It doesn't matter. There's still going to be little tweaks. But
I think it's because they throw it in there without, they're like, oh, we're going to put, and that's the problem of this, it's alpha mentality though, we're going to throw it in there just to get it in there, but we're not going to do it right. Well, all they had to do is go put the numbers in right the first time, and then they wouldn't be having to figure it out over the next 6 months. You know, just look it up what it's supposed to be. And then that would save them. They're wasting so much time redoing everything and fixing it a second and a third and fourth. And how many times have we seen it? As you said, every month. Just fix it right the first time. Put it in there the first time, and don't go and redo it all. Because I'd rather, like with the menu, if you would have gone through and just come up with a theme, like what do we want our game to feel like? Put that in the first time, and then you can improve on it later. But instead, they just put boxes that took them 10 minutes to do. You know, and now the whole flow of getting into a game is no good because they haven't bothered to make it so that, oh, you're in a group, you stay in a group. Like, think those things through before you implement them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just frustrating. They throw it in there and then we have to live with the junk version of it for so long because they're like, oh, it's there. Well, how about you don't put it in for a couple weeks and say, all right, we're going to put it in once it's partially feature ready and then we'll put it in. And then we wouldn't have the same loading screens that they're finally fixing a year and 4 months later.
Yeah. So,
I mean, that's it.
And I think part of this issue, Brian, and I mean, everything you're saying is I second you completely on everything. I think part of the issue is there is still, and I said this 9 months ago, there is still no incentive to play on the test server. They do implement stuff into the test server, but the problem is nobody plays it besides like the hardcore. You know who I see that plays it all the time? Hanny's constantly on the test server checking stuff out. But he's like the only one. Nobody else gives a damn to even go play on the test
server. How long ago did we say this? Like, give a special bonus or, you know, you get possibility of winning skins for playing on the test server. Like, give them a reason because nobody wants to play it. What's the point? It's all going to race.
Hanny is the only person on my... I have so many people on my friends list that play H1Z1. Hanny is the only person that ever launches the test servers.
And
ever.
I uninstalled the test server.
Because there's nobody ever on
the test server long enough to really bother with it. But there's no feature that's like, oh, this is incredible. I might as well play it on the test server.
But I think you and I, Brian, and people that want to complain about these changes need to take some of the fall for this because some of this stuff has been implemented into the test server and nobody's bothered to go in and actually test it. That's the base of the issue. I mean, maybe we need to give the test server an install. Maybe we need to stop complaining about it and maybe give the test servers an install and start looking at these changes when they get implemented. Maybe that's the solution to this problem. Maybe we need to entice people to actually jump on the test server for 40 minutes on a Saturday.
We could have a fun game of like, let's go on the test server and find a ton of bugs and just start reporting them like crazy. Make a little contest. Like, let's find as many bugs as we can and just start throwing them in their face. Like, here's a bug, here's a bug, here's a bug.
Yeah.
I mean, give you a reason to go on there. That's what they're for anyways. And nobody's reporting the bugs, so then they get into the regular play.
But that's the issue, because nobody's playing on them and there's no incentive to report or play or anything. Why should we? It's not their job. I mean, they put the test server out there for... any.
Well, they're supposed to, but
you can't. No, false. No.
If you go look at their bug list, like there's a ton of things on there that they haven't even touched.
Yeah, but you got to remember that bug list is user maintained and not company.
And the problem is it's so out of date. Like, but the thing is, they reference that, and they're referencing things that are no longer bugs.
Trello.
Internally?
Isn't Trello that that app?
I don't think they're using that.
No, I said they need to be using.
Oh, they need to. Yeah, they should have it. And then people can go and vote and say, and you can mark something. Oh, this is no longer a bug, because their bug system has gotten so just saturated with old stuff and stuff that's no longer relevant that it's not even, there's pointless. It's going in there. They'll say, oh, you should have seen that this bug was reported. This one out of 500 that are there, you should have seen this has already been reported. And then they'll remove your report.
Yeah.
Now it's like, how am I supposed to search through 500 bugs and try to find this one?
Exactly. If there is anybody from Daybreak still listening, which I very highly doubt there is, just because we've switched away from H1Z1 completely to other games. Really,
I'm sure in one of their boardrooms they said, okay, no more listening. Please,
that's right. I'm sure we're blacklisted on their firewall. Please bring up some incentive for the test servers. I am now going. I will
need to have our little book of things that are going to happen.
Can you make a?
We need to start making a list.
Can you make a Trello? Do you have to pay for that, or is it?
No,
free?
It's free.
Maybe we should make one.
Yeah, say here's features we want to see, and people can start voting on the features. That'd be kind of fun.
I think we should do that. Let's do that. Good God, I don't even know where the hell we were.
We're
bug stingers. Fixes. Yeah, we were past stingers. We did everything
else.
Well,
you were starting talking about the different the ambiance sound.
Yeah, we did that. Near misses, ambient sound, bug fixes.
Let's see, all players are starting at the same time.
Yeah, let me bang through these bug fixes quickly.
Now,
then.
Fix of an issue where the team autofill was not functioning correctly. Yeah. Maybe that's why when you'd sit there and you'd try to get a person, it would sit there for 30 minutes.
Yeah. So that is fixed an issue where the loot bag could occasionally float in the air while a player was jumping and killed. I saw that a while. Fixed issues where buildings would occasionally not render a distance, but the players inside would render and could be shot. I don't remember the could be shot being part of the bug. I knew players would render.
But also vehicles inside of bases.
I never thought they could be destroyed. I only thought they were able to be seen. That's news to me. I didn't know they could actually
I tried
attacked.
To shoot at some of them, and I don't remember being able to.
No, neither do I. I remember shooting at people on a non-rendered base, and I wasn't able to kill them. Or maybe it's just I was an awful shot. Which is a high possibility. So
we weren't aiming this far above the player to have a drop there.
Yeah, fixed issues where players would sometimes appear to clap their hands or stare or sit awkwardly when riding in a vehicle. They're not standing when they're in a vehicle. Fixed an issue where players were unable to enter vehicles as a passenger from the driver's side. Fixed an issue where the AK-47 would sometimes keep firing while reloading. I do remember that seeing that a few times as well. Fixed an issue where first person camera would occasionally shake. While riding as a passenger in a vehicle, fixed.
No, this was fixed. This was fixed months ago. Yeah, but just making a note.
It was
the vehicle shake.
Yeah, but this again.
They said they fixed it months ago.
But again, Brian, they fix it and then they find another area where it's happening and then they fix it again. I mean, this stuff is not just one time fixes. Nothing is a one time fix. I mean.
Because of their engine.
No, it's not. Stop. It's not
yes,
because
it is.
No, Brian, have you ever used alpha software before? Have you ever used beta software? This same stuff happens in beta software. They fix something.
But I'm saying like this vehicle shake, like.
But I'm saying
cause you to shake in your vehicle.
They widely fixed the vehicle shake. Can you agree to that?
Yeah,
they fixed it. So this is an isolated issue that they
maybe they're saying it now occasionally because it seemed like it was doing it.
That's
every
what they're
time
saying.
Before.
They're saying occasionally. I mean, this is the it's not everything does not go back to the engine. When you're implementing a fix for this, there's a problem. You implement that fix and then you find that there's another little isolated issue that can also lead to that same result. Then you patch that, and then you're in the same boat. So that's fixed. Now, this next one really pisses me off. Fix several issues with spectate mode. How the hell is there issues with spectate mode? Who has spectate mode? Like the four people
like
with private servers? That's
C's
it.
There's a couple streamers.
This
have
is such
spectate
bullshit.
Mode.
Why don't we have spectate mode? Why doesn't everybody have spectate mode?
Because we don't have 1,000 people.
No, why doesn't the game have spectate mode? Why can you still not spectate other people in your game?
Because they would have to take some extra time to implement it.
How can you fit? But this is for King of the Kill. Nobody has private King of the Kill servers.
No.
Is this for the Spectate in the, like, the mode that they used to host their tournament?
Yeah.
What Spectate mode is there in King of the... Is there a Spectate mode that I don't know about in King of the Kill?
I no, there is a Spectate mode on private servers, and that's the only one that I know.
But there's no private King of the Kill servers. Right?
No.
They're only private for admins.
No, there is.
There's private King of the Kill servers?
There's a private King of the Kill server.
I didn't even know there was private King of the Kill servers. Okay. Well, then I guess that's for them. Congrats.
So yeah, they get to play with that.
Yeah. Fixed collision issues with the roll-up garage doors at the dam. Fixed issues that would cause unintended brightness and darkness at low-quality settings. Again, isolated stuff. All skinned weapons should be repairable, and all skinned jackets should be able to be reskinned after they were skinned already. And now the mute-all functionality should persist throughout all logins. And then there's an occasional issue where the helicopter will not spawn, causing you to fall to your death at the start of the game and kill you, because the helicopter won't spawn that you drop out of. So... these are bugs. They're noted. They're being fixed in various stages of development and will be rolled out as soon as they are fixed. So that is the King of the Kill.
So now, Supercar Fan, he makes a comment. He says the Spectate mode would be abused a lot though, and that's the thing is, it wouldn't be if you did it correctly. If you could only spectate that person's point of view,
it's just a direct feed of them.
Yeah, and it's not that you're seeing other people playing that are not on your team. If you can only see the perspective of it'd be too much of a lag probably to send their current camera, like what they're viewing in their camera, because then you'd have to send that out constantly, and I think they're only viewing that locally.
Yeah.
But it's just to send which way the person's facing and see their view from there. Like, that would be – it'd be hard to abuse that. I mean, you could say, I'm going to run forward blindly, and I'm going to only look behind myself, and you can tell me what's in front of me. Like, that would make no sense.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't make any sense at all. Now, this next thing, Brian, you put in here, and I have a feeling because of something you're working on, you may have some information about this. So, this is a visualization of how each layer affects the final height field of the game. So, what is this here? What is this, you know, output of colors that we're looking at here?
So they're just looking at, like, if you look, you can kind of see a raised.
Platform
and lowered indent. Yeah. So those are the green ones are dynamic. So if you can see, there's just more variation. If you look at the blue area, that is all brushed. Like, they made that. And so I think they're just showing, I mean, if you look, it looks much more natural, the gradient and the rise and the way it is. So, so you're just seeing what the height fields are now. Of what, you know, what they've generated. This is one of their guys that's been working on that. So he just kind of shows, you know, how everything's laying out. And this is them working on their new map, like how the landscape's going to be, you know, how it goes up and down. I mean, that's all they're showing. So I just thought it'd be interesting just kind of show that, because this guy, you know, at least he's posting something. Very few of their devs post anything now. and he actually posts some of his work. So I figured it would be
appropriate.
Yeah. So,
yes.
Yep. So, yeah, pretty much when you paint over it, you just kind of see you can raise and lower the current terrain. So,
which is cool. It'll add a little some more uniqueness to the terrain itself.
Yeah. So, and that's a good thing, because their current terrain is not very dynamic. I mean,
no, not at all.
It's pretty much just set in stone. It's hard for them to make any changes.
Now, upcoming fixes. There's a few things on here, and then I want to get onto some other news because we've spent like an hour on this. So these are some upcoming King of the Kill fixes. And
this was just sent in the last day.
Yeah, this is new news. This is new. This is stuff that was fixed on their side internally, and they will push as soon as they can verify. That's the biggest thing here. Being able to verify a fix across 1,000 people to see that it actually worked. You can test it internally on 3 or 4 clients, but it's not an accurate representation. So on their side, they fixed... increase in the G9 errors, which I got a crazy amount last time we tried to play, and it made me able to, you know, it made me stop playing. At the start of ignition, you may fall to your death. That's been fixed. They're going to get a test for that. And after playing ignition, the safe zones and helicopters may appear in BR. So that stuff is fixed internally. Now they just need to verify that that's like a wide fix across everything, and then push that out. Fixes that are currently in progress, and they will push as soon as they can, is voice chat is enabled on the loading screen going into the matches, which is an issue. Helicopters can be missing above the safe zone in ignition, which I talked about in the last thing. And then when inside a building, a gunshot fired outside can sound too loud and near to your position. So that should be...
Now, you remember when we first started playing this game, how like their distance for audio was so messed up that like people would be running out of visual, like you couldn't see them, but it sounded like they're running right next to you.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, I remember that for early on. It's like, oh, there's someone around. There's someone pick berries.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it'd be like someone's picking berries right next to you, but you can't see anybody.
Yeah, and you're inside of a building and you're like, how is somebody picking a berry? So that's... Now, stuff that they are investigating and they're trying to find the fixes to the problems is performance frame rate drops from this last patch, the sounds when the interaction fails may go away. Listen to your feedback. Okay, I don't even know what that means. Exiting a vehicle can result in a delay in being able to fire your weapon. I don't feel like I've noticed that, but possibly. And then stuff that they're not looking to fix immediately, but is on here, is gun sounds. And they say that they're happy with the new sounds, is that they believe it does a better job in...
I had somebody message me that sounds like little toy guns. I haven't gone in there to listen to them, but someone was making a comment to me that it sounded like toy guns.
Oh, there you go.
So I'll have to go in there and hear what they sound like, because I haven't heard them myself.
Perfect.
So we'll see.
Exactly. So this is...
Now, there's one thing that they posted here, and it was some terrain. So this is from their official King of the Kill Twitter account. And this is it's pretty much Z2 terrain, and it shows some mountains that they put in there. And one thing I noticed is there's not a single tree yet in this area.
No, but that's because this is just the terrain. This is not the
Yeah, this is the terrain. But if you look, like... Look in the back, right below at the bottom of the mountain. Like, what's with that? It looks like a flat area.
You're talking about... Let's see.
Like, if you look, you can see, like...
Talking, like, right
here? A man-made... Yes.
Okay.
Like, what is that?
There's probably going to be something there. A big building or something like that.
That's huge, though.
Does it say where on the map this is?
No. I mean, it's in... It's just Z2. I'm not sure.
Governor's Mansion-ish? Thing back there, something like that,
maybe, but that's a huge man-made area. So but yeah, I mean, if you look, I don't know, like, what do you think of the terrain look? I mean, I still see a lot of that same, like, cut and paste to the right. Like, look at the base of the mountain just below the peaks. See how there's that repeated texture that they have on their current map for the rocks?
Now I see that, but that's I'm not really looking at the mountains more than I'm looking at the stuff at the bottom. Where it looks like the running water, kind of effect. That's very unique.
Where it looks like there's runoff and
right in this area down here.
Looks good.
There's a whole lot of stuff going on down here. Like, I could see gunfights between like here and there going on between those two separate rocks. Like, I feel like that could be
how far are we zoomed out? Like, it's hard to know. Trees down there.
Looking at a mountain, that mountain, I would say that we're not super far zoomed out, but it's a decent distance. I mean,
that's the thing, is it's going to be really hard to see until they start filling in some of the trees, which are not static objects. That's why they're not in here, as you said.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see as they fill in the trees. And it'll give it that look, because right now it just looks very bare, but that's because it's just landscape.
Yeah. Now, in reference to that, Gravity Beard really gave the H1Z1 folks a hard time on Twitter, and they came back at him. Let's do the giveaway, because we're an hour into the show now. Let's start the giveaway, and then because I feel like we're going to talk about this for a little while longer.
Okay.
So real quick here, we are giving away a copy of a game called Crawl, and this was donated by Supa, and
one of the listeners.
Yeah, one of our listeners played Ark with us, and he wants you to go check out his ARC server. It's called Uprising Server. It's a PvPvE 5X server with mods, and the website is uprisingserver.com. So if you enter the word crawl in chat, you'll have an opportunity to win crawl. We want to thank Supa for that and the game later on. So back to Gravity's post. In reference to that tweet that we just looked at, he said that, quote from him, months of development just for terrain, efficiency at its best. And he, you know, then they came back and said, that's not how this works. This is just a showcase of the terrain. And then he asks a question. They say yes. And then it ends with them tweeting back to him and us, hashtag have some faith. And I really like that because, I'll just ban Gravity.
I'll fix it.
I feel like everybody is just caking on the development team at this point, and no matter what they do, everybody's just fussing at them. So I really do think that everybody that is currently up in arms about H1Z1 needs to tone it down a little bit and just keep an open mind to this stuff, because it's like literally everything they do is nothing but people complaining. So
yeah,
have some faith. Just keep an open mind and don't go into this with this preconceived notion that this game sucks and everything is garbage and I hate everything and it's all shit. Because that's what the current notion is.
look at the where people are coming from on this though. Like the terrain is something that they've been promising a long time. Like this new map.
Yeah.
And wouldn't you think? And I've given some of my speculation on this, but this is something that they should have done a long time ago, and maybe they just finally put in the resources to make, as you've been seeing, the guys have been making the train generation better. Maybe they put off so long putting those fixes in there. They kept saying, well, we don't want to generate the train because the thing to generate it isn't what we want yet. Like finally they've gotten to the point of, okay, this is kind of what we want for a terrain generator, but they should have said that a long time ago. All right, we want to make this new map, but the thing to generate the terrain isn't, you know, as good as we want it to be. We're working on it. As soon as that's ready, then we'll start generating terrain. Like, yeah. Say that. Like, they've been saying, oh, Z2's coming. And then they show a screenshot of something that should have been generated 5 months ago.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, five months ago.
I mean, there's really good apps that would generate this in a day. Like, you know, I mean, the problem is they were using a program that is really old to do this. And maybe they realize, oh, well, maybe we shouldn't use a program that's at least 7 years old to generate terrain. Let's make something more current.
Yeah.
And maybe they're fixing that tool and making it work and better. You know, maybe. Possibly. I don't know. I mean, the thing is, they don't tell you. So people give them flack because, oh, this generator, someone could go download a generator off the internet and come up with something that is equivalent to this.
Yeah, definitely. But I just think the idea of going into these patches with an open mind and no preconceived notion. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that is different right now than it was 8 months ago. We've got, you know, brand new upper management. I mean, the guy who had the idea for the game isn't even there anymore. There's just a lot of new stuff. So have some faith, people, and just stop complaining. That's just, God, it's ridiculous. So, we'll see what happens there. But I really liked that have some faith thing. That was, I see what they're saying. And I constantly see Clegg and these other people on Twitter just kind of venting, because no matter what they post, people are just constantly fussing.
Yeah.
For nothing. So that's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they've asked for some of it, but because of how things have gone in the past, that's people are more inclined to do it.
Yeah, I got that. I got that. So open mind is the key to success here. So,
okay. So that's, yeah, that is the map, and we'll see. We'll see. I mean, is that they've got to be putting out soon some screenshots of the map with things on it, because all they've been showing are things that are like, oh, here's a city block, because that's in their little test area. Like, they haven't been showing anything on the actual map yet. So I think once they get to that point where they're showing, here's a city on the real map, like, then people are going to feel like it's coming. But right now, those pieces aren't even together yet to where it's saying, okay, you know, you're just at the, you're at two different phases. Like, they haven't come together yet. So,
yeah. So I see where people are coming from, but I think it's a, I think it's a good thing to practice with this. So that's all of the, that was, I mean, God, we must have talked about H1Z1 for 40 minutes.
Yeah.
So that's,
it's like the old version of the podcast.
Yeah, there, that's H1Z1. Now let's do this giveaway and then we can get on to the second half of our news and then,
all right, so we'll go ahead and roll on this. So Bravo PT.
There we go. Congratulations, Bravo.
So I will send, this will be a Humble Bundle gift link.
Yep.
And so go look in your inbox on Twitch. It'll probably be under other. So
yes, it will most definitely be under other.
It's just the way it works.
Now, Miscreated has got some new stuff. And this is from Mrs. Miscreated on Twitter.
The wife of one of the developers, yeah, who does their PR.
Yes. And there's some interesting things in here I want to note. First is that Wacom monitor is sick. Those drawing monitors, those things are freaking awesome. But yeah, this is the work on the new city for Miscreated. Now, something else to note that's interesting as well is there is an Xbox One sitting right above that shelf.
Yes,
which is interesting as well. So, this is some work on the new city. You can kind of see all of the different tools that are being used across the same program across two or three different monitors, and kind of the development process for this. So this is some insight.
Yeah, you can see the rendered version. Yeah. You know, him pretty much putting it together, just the asset, and then on the top, I would assume that that is.
It's some type of modeling software, because you can see those are little like orbs with like different, yep, reflection on them. Some
maybe
modeling
for textures.
Yeah, and, textures, yep, or something like that. So those are those Wacom monitors are sick though. I don't know how much they are, but they're
expensive.
I'm sure they're very expensive, but they're, I mean, even the little ones are like $200 or $300, the little USB ones. So that's all for Miscreated.
Digital says they're using an Xbox One to make the game.
Yeah, they are. They're running Windows XP on.
If you look, it looks like he's running Windows 7.
He is running Windows 7.
Yeah,
but there you go. No upgrade for him. Now this next
not going to run DirectX 12.
No, this next. Well, but again, this is just the modeling, which you really don't need. Like,
yeah, he doesn't. As long as he's not trying to play some new game on it.
Yeah. We got some hate from our from our good friend, who he still goes by the name Infected. I think he still goes by Infected. He's, Heisenberg, right? Like, he, yeah, still goes by the name Infection.
He still listens.
Yeah, he still listens. He says that the lack of 7 days to die coverage saddens him. And I said, I'm yes, sorry for the disappointment. So he
the problem is they put out one big patch and then they don't do it. They don't.
Now,
put out patches for a little while.
Now, what he did do, which there's no way for us to know, is that there's a 7 Days to Die developer that has a Tumblr blog that he keeps stuff up to date, pretty regularly.
So you can actually see
like once
some
a week. So this is actually pretty cool. We haven't talked about 7 Days to Die in a while, but they recently did an update from Alpha 14 to Alpha 15 that had improvements with lighting and fog. And I really want to show you this difference.
The trees
here
look a lot better.
Look at the difference here between, yep, Alpha 14 on the top and Alpha 15 at the bottom. It looks like a totally different game.
Yep.
So that's some really cool stuff that they're kind of explaining here on their dev blog. Other than that, there was an update, there was a note a week ago that they have now added bandits, and they have heavy armor bandits done. And then there's some bandit NPCs wearing this. You can see this looks just like Fallout, Brian. I don't know, yeah, if you see these pictures, but these bandits look just like the Fallout bandits with, like, yeah, this metal armor and these guns. which is a really good look. I like the Fallout look. So this is some cool stuff that they're working on, and this last picture is really Fallout-ish to me. Or the second to last picture right there. So cool stuff going on there with 7 Days to Die. We will get back on the roll with 7 Days to Die and keep including that stuff in there. So that's what's going on.
And that's
on
a very active game. And as far as the developers, they are continually putting things in that game. So it is, it's not a dead game by any means, but they do wait, you know, well, to keep an eye on the sky, because they don't put things in the game, so we don't get to see them until they actually put them in the patch notes. With him, he's actually putting hints of, here's things to look forward to. So
yes.
And the game is huge. Like, there is so much you can do in that game. If you look at what Heisenberg does with his bases, yeah, they're just ridiculous.
Yeah, I would say, like, every month or so, he tweets us, like, some
And one thing you can do, too, is go check out his videos. He's done a tutorial series on YouTube.
Yes.
To where, if you're getting new into 7 Days to Die, there's a right way to do things and there's a wrong way to do things. Most people will the first couple times do it the wrong way. If you want to learn how to play 7 Days to Die correctly, go check out Heisenberg's YouTube videos, and we'll have to put a link. I'll put a link to the, maybe the playlist or whatever he has for that.
Yeah, and I think that's called Infection 2.
Yeah.
Or something like that. It's called the Infected Survivor.
Yeah. Infected Survivor. So,
yeah. So that's some cool stuff.
If you go and check that out, he goes through, like, okay, day one, you know, you need to be trying to gather these things. You need to do this. Like, he knows how to go through. And the first time I played 7 Days to Die, he took me through, and we just made the perfect base. And, you know, he just knows how to do it efficiently. So,
yes,
we'll put a link to that.
Yes, we will. All right. That's in the notes now. So there we go. Now, there is some... Now, so you've got some Fallout stuff on here. This is Fallout for the Far Harbor.
Far Harbor. DLC. Yeah, so this is an expansion they just put out.
Did you get the season pass?
Yes.
Okay. What's going on in this update?
So I haven't played it yet, just because I haven't had time this week because of school, but it's got very positive... People are saying that it's got a lot of content, because some people that are playing it did send me some messages and let me know. Cool. The content in this, there's a lot there for being, you know, just an add-on for this. So it's supposedly really good. And this is one reason why I got the season pass, is because I wanted all the stuff. Being a game that you go through and just play whenever, to just go through it. Like, I love having the option of going wherever I want and doing whatever I want. And this one, they added some really cool effects. Like, in the old Fallout, you didn't really see ocean and water.
No.
It wasn't really a thing. And that exists in this. So
it's cool.
They've added a little bit different of a look to it. They got some new creatures that I've not seen before. It's pretty cool. So this is Far Harbor. And they have a little video, like, you actually you're riding in a boat, which I've never seen. Like, the old engine was not very good with those type of things.
Now, Fallout 3 was not. Was not the most technologically advanced game, so.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they do have a similar look, but they definitely have added in some, like, some cool fog effects.
Yeah.
Water effects, lightning, just things you didn't see.
Lightning, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, lightning. So that's out.
Yeah, so that's out, and I just, it very, very good ratings.
You know,
on
I
it,
still
so.
Only have, like, a very small amount, like, 12 hours on Fallout. It's still very, I'm just waiting for, like, the time where I'm just going to get hooked to it, and I won't stop playing it for, you know, presumably weeks at a time. So,
yeah, I just haven't had time. Oh, you're the same way.
Well, not anymore. Summer vacation.
Yeah, you got time right now. Yeah. Tell your girlfriend she's not going to see you for a week, and you're going to play some Fallout.
I just have no incentive to even play it. Like, the other day I was looking through my Steam games, like, oh, what should I play? And I was like, Fallout now? I don't think so.
I haven't been into the story as much, and maybe the expansions will kind of pull me into one of the stories, but the main storyline on this hasn't pulled me in as much as the old ones. So I don't know. Maybe it's just me though. Maybe I haven't gotten into that mood of getting into it.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. I think you really have to be in the Fallout. I think Fallout's one of those games where, like, you have to be in the mood to play it and get into the story. Because I find myself, I'll launch it and I'll play it for like 15 minutes, and it's like, ugh, like, I just really don't feel like.
Well, then everything's pretty disconnected is the problem. Like, things, when you're only playing like 15 minutes, like you're not getting that story of going from here to there.
And I don't play games for a long amount. I don't play games for a crazy amount of time. I don't have the attention span to do it for a long amount.
Now, what if they came out with an incredible engine? Like, what if they were like Bloodcore brings up Fallout 5. Like, their engine is the thing that the content is there, right?
Yeah, I mean, but they're just really slowly. Graphics.
Well, but the character, the way the characters move and talk is just, it's very Fallout 3-ish to me.
Okay.
If they could work through and just get it to where their engine was really, like, just made the game look really pretty. Because, I mean, the substance and the core is there for this game.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if they could just get the engine caught up with what they put into it, imagine what they could do. Like, they think they get everything they can out of this engine. But there's just that Fallout. Do you think people would get mad about that? Like, if they fixed it? Because some of those things, like, that's what they expect Fallout to be, the way the characters' mouths move.
Yeah, that is Fallout. If they change that, I think people would be like, oh, that's not Fallout or whatever. So, who knows? I'd still recommend the game. It's still fun.
Well, it's fun, but just imagine if they went through and, like, for the next one, just...
No, because then it's, oh, this isn't Fallout, man. The characters aren't glitchy.
That's the thing. I'm wondering, would it almost be to where people then would not like it? Because they've gotten everything I think they can out of this engine.
Yeah.
I don't think they could get any more out of the engine that they're working on now.
Who knows? I'm not sure.
So, well, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, Fallout 5, when it does, I mean, how many years? Because, I mean, Fallout 3 was out for a long time.
Fallout 3 came out in... See, I don't know.
Both. And then they put out New Vegas to kind of...
Fallout 3 came out in 2008, and then Vegas was a flop.
I hardly played Vegas. I like Fallout 3 a lot more.
Yeah. So now this next thing, Brian, is I want to thank PHVCK for emailing us a link to something to talk about so that we can reference it back later in the week. Now, what is this game, Brian? This thing is
all right. So this is
little...
Sarion.
And now it's a Kickstarter. So let's just throw that out there. It's a Kickstarter,
and I actually backed it.
You backed it because of his email?
Yes.
Oh Lord.
and so this is Sarion, an open world dinosaur survival experience. So, it's a very realistic. Remember how I'm always going off on things? Just make them realistic, and you don't have to figure out so much. Like if you just follow. Science, I guess. Well, these guys, they went through and they said, we're using every single bit of science that's out there regarding dinosaurs, and we're making as true to life dinosaur game as possible. So the dinosaurs look like real dinosaurs. They move as well as they can, you know, see that they move. They match the weather system that was supposedly around that time. And so you start out as a small dinosaur and you grow over time. And so your dinosaur actually adjusts and changes and you have to survive. So you have to figure out how am I going to get food, stay hydrated, just survive as a dinosaur as you grow and have to deal with the dangers of being a dinosaur. So looking through, I was like, another dinosaur game. But then I looked at it and it seems pretty legit. It looks like it would be a lot of fun because it seems like it's a single player game that then you have to just figure out how to survive from being a baby dinosaur and then grow up through adulthood.
Yeah,
so
just to
it's
be clear,
a dynamic open world.
Just to be clear, you are actually the dinosaur. This is not like Ark where you're
you play as the dinosaur.
Yeah, you are literally a dinosaur. So.
Yep, and this is a somewhat small development team, but you can tell they're putting their heart into it and it looks good. I mean, they're going through and doing a good, and they break down exactly like for a budget. Here's how much, we're looking to raise. Here's how much goes to, like our engine,
that's the typical Kickstarter infographic.
Yeah. But they're going through like, here's exactly how much each person would receive from this. Like they break it down exact.
Oh, okay.
Here's $1,500 for the Unity 5 Pro license. $3,000 for the Unity team license for 6 people. Various Unity plugin programs, $500. Like they break it down to that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, there you go. So.
Yeah, and this is going on. I did the $15 one, which gives you a copy of the game. You can get one that has, up above that has extra things like the soundtrack and all that.
Oh yeah.
And then these, I mean, these guys have a sound guy that's going through and making the soundtrack, and they're doing all the sounds. And they have a little emu, which is their dinosaur that's on the team that they use for motion studies.
Gotcha.
To see how they're supposed to move. So they have a little emu that runs around.
There you go. So that's Sorarium, right?
It is.
Sorari? Is that how it's pronounced? Sorarium?
It is Saurion. Saurion.
Saurion. An open world dinosaur survival experience. It's on Kickstarter. It's got 29 days to go.
So it's got 29 days to go. Yeah. So if you might even be interested into it, they're at 21,777 right now. They have 510 backers. So this is pretty much what, day two?
Yeah, day two. They're almost. I mean, they're day almost, two of they're it, almost they're, halfway there.
They're almost halfway there. Yeah. I mean, but you know, you never know. I mean, it could die off. But if you think this might be a game you're interested in, just kickstart it now so that that way they know they're going to receive it. You know, get the hype out there if you think it's going to be a good game.
Yeah.
So, and $15, they're not asking too much for a copy of the game.
No, but again, Kickstarter is really risky with this stuff because.
Well, these guys actually came out with, like, in-game, like, you can actually see it moving around. Like,
I know, but until you actually have a copy, it's...
I get nervous when I see, people kickstarting a game that has no gameplay footage whatsoever.
Yeah.
That makes me nervous.
All right. There you go. Brian backed it, so you might as well back it, too.
Yeah. I mean, if it interests you, if you like that kind of a game, but it seems to fit into a lot of some of the gameplay that our type of player likes. So
yeah, there you go. That's on Kickstarter. You can check it out.
Now, I wanted to, Elite Dangerous is a game that when I have more time, I'm going to go back to. And so this is a game that they're releasing through some sort of a season pass type of thing. What used to be Horizons is now a season pass. And they're releasing new content through that. So if you buy the season pass once, you'll be able to get the rest of their releases that they're doing throughout the year. So they actually lowered the price of Horizon. So now it is $29.99. I don't remember what it was before. It was a little bit more, maybe $39.99.
Yeah.
But they lowered the price of that. And they're going to be coming out in 2 days. So on the 26th, they're going to be coming out with their next expansion. So, so if you're looking at getting this game, this is Engineers 2.1, which will allow you to do more customization to your ship. You actually have an engineer on your ship that lets you make new things. So this will be a lot of fun. We have one guy who listens to our podcast that plays this all the time. So he's always telling me about his progress, or you know, just checking in with me. So yeah. It's if you're looking at getting into it, this would be a good time with the new content, because you'll be able to take advantage of this new pack that just came out. Cause the first one was the thing for landing on planets, and it didn't take off really well. So I've been waiting for this expansion to come out. So once I get a little more time, hopefully I'll get into that.
Cool stuff, Brian. Now this next one was sent to us by Gravity, and this is called Novus Inceptio, and it's an open world survival MMO, which is very interesting. The idea with this is it's not really a survival, like building bases and stuff, as much as it is creating stuff that's shared by a lot of people, because it's an MMO. It's not like the big thing in the MMO is like shared spaces. So the goal is to maintain those shared spaces and not just create like a bunch of little one-off bases like Ark. This is a lot more MMO-y. So imagine like from the looks, it's kind of like Guild Wars and Ark together a little bit. Guild Wars 2. So
it's 33% off right
now.
It
is 33% off right now. The game looks all right, but there's either no anti-aliasing, or they recorded this on a really crappy computer because the tree, nothing is smooth. But you can get this on Steam if you're interested in an open world survival MMO, which is a little bit interesting. It's an interesting mix. It's not.
Yeah, it says if you're looking for, it isn't primarily focused on the destruction of structures. The main objective of the game is to create and maintain shared values. Yes. So, as you said, that it's taking away from it, because that's what a lot of people get frustrated with. That's what we got frustrated with Ark, for instance, is that the main goal is just destroy what everyone else has.
Yeah, it's called Novus Inceptio. Now, right now,
It says in the ghost mode, only single player.
It's single player. So right now, it's listed as single player, but it is going to be an MMO when it is.
It says ghost mode is a sample of the full MMO and serves as a preview of the interactions, gaming principles, and the mechanics. So they're just doing one without having to deal with the whole huge MMO of dealing with the people. They're coming up with how everything is going to work in a ghost mode where you can't. You know, you can't run into each other, but they're getting all the gameplay elements. Because then once you throw everybody together, then you're having to deal with a whole new set of problems. Yeah. So
like
it's good that they're doing it this way.
Like that chivalry game you're playing or whatever. So that's you can check that out on Steam. It is $13.39 right now. So you can do that. Now, let's see. Do we have anything? You have another note in here. What is this?
Oh, just the past show. So,
Okay, is that what we're doing?
Still,
yeah.
Well, okay. Are we? That's the one thing I was going to ask you. Are we planning on doing that? Are we going to encourage people to do that?
I think that should be what we're going to do. So, episode 100 is 29 episodes away.
We'll keep counting down every week,
which is a long time. But what we're going to try to do is do like a best of or a kind of a clip show where we clip a bunch of stuff. Intertwine a bunch of clip stuff together. So.
We don't want to go through and have to find things that we think are funny or whatever.
If people send something, I'm not going to go and spend nine months creating it.
We'll start now. If you just want to send us a link of the YouTube video with a timestamp of when the time is, that way we can start cataloging this and putting them together to hopefully have. And if we don't get enough, we won't do it for episode 100. But that's why I want to know now.
Yes.
So that we have an early enough notice of, okay, are people interested in this? If they're not, then we'll do something else.
Exactly. So that is the goal. So email is, you have to email this stuff. You don't send it on Twitter because it gets lost instantly. So please email that stuff, contact@infectionpodcast.com, or use the contact form on the actual website itself. And then you'll get all of that stuff. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Bravo sent a trailer, and I don't know if you saw that link. There's of an upcoming game.
Let's do it next
week. I don't know if we want to put that in for next week.
Yeah, okay. Let's do it next week.
That way we can do some research.
Yeah, we can actually talk about it. So, Bravo, send us an email with that in it so that we can cover it. Current players. I talked about Ark, so I'm actually going to start off with Ark because I talked about this Ark. These numbers are crazy. Currently,
no. Do we want to do the game giveaway as far as the code first?
Yeah, let's do that then.
So that we do that. Okay. So, let me pull up. We will do a new code,
and this is again another game by Supa, and you can check out his Ark PvP PE or whatever the classification.
PvE?
No, it's a PvP PE or something like that. It's a PvP VE. It's a 5X server with mods, and it's uprisingserver.com if you want to join that. So if you're looking for an Ark server, there you go.
And the code is DREAM. So if you put in DREAM, and the game is Dreamfall Chapters.
Yeah.
And so I will put a link into our chat for that. But put in DREAM, lowercase, of course. Just make sure you don't put. And this is a game that normally is $29.99.
This is a double A title right here. So you got that. Let's get on to current players. Currently playing Ark Survival Evolved, 39,422. The 24-hour peak, 60,936. Brian, this 7-day peak is almost 80,000 concurrent players. Yep. 78,283. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Almost 80,000 concurrent players. Let me see when it was. I think it was
probably right after the release, right?
Actually, it was Sunday. They had 78,000 people playing. So
yeah,
that's crazy. Sunday, May 22nd, 2 days ago, they had all those people playing. That's just... When you look at the H1Z1 numbers, and we will right now, it's just uncomprehendable. Currently playing that, 9,253. The 24-hour peak for This is King of the Kill and Just Survive combined 14,128, and the 7-day peak 19,300. Yep. Now we're going to hop over to Just Survive. Currently playing that 2,408. The 24-hour peak for that is 3,500. The 7-day peak for that, 4,004. And then hopping over to King of the Kill, currently playing that, 6,781. The 24-hour peak for this, 10,242. And the 7-day peak, 12,463. These numbers are almost identical to last week, like 200 or 300 players more or less. So
yeah.
People are saying these numbers are really, really low, and they are low, but they've been this low. So this is very
like what right now, what is the incentive to play Just Survive?
There
like,
isn't
what is
an
the
incentive.
Point?
There is no reason. But I just need to say that it has been even though the numbers are very low, they've been consistently, they're not like still tanking every week.
There's still those people that are holding on. And
I mean, there is
playing.
Still
I mean,
2,000.
Look, there's people that are still playing these really old games. So, I mean, you'll have that one corpse part of the population that will play
but, I mean,
this 4,000, game, even if nothing happens.
4,000 for the weekend is awful.
Yeah.
But then again, Ignition did come out this weekend, so that may have been enticing people to try that instead, but who knows.
Also, Overwatch, like they're going to get a lot of competition from some of these games coming out.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, COD will be out in November. There's stuff that's going to be competing with – I mean, competing really isn't is a accurate word to use because there's nobody playing it. But currently playing DayZ, 6,523. The 24-hour peak for that, 10,567. And the 7-day peak, 13,572. Finishing it off here with Rust, currently playing that 18,718. The 24-hour peak for that, 33,380. And the 7-day peak, 45,904. And that is current players.
Yeah. And that, man, Rust continues to hold on. I mean, it doesn't seem like they put out huge updates of like, oh, look at this thing, but they'll put out, you know, a new look for the character. They'll put out little things here and there, and people really like it.
Totally.
People eat it up, so.
I mean, that's all you can ask for, I guess, as a game developer. People keep coming back and playing, so.
Yep. So, I mean, that's the thing for that. The mechanics are right, like, regardless of what is in it and how they look, kind of like what you were saying earlier.
Yeah.
Like, the mechanics on that game are right. And so I think that that's what people really like is all the mechanics are there and they know that the look, the visuals and everything else is going to come together over time. So,
yeah, exactly.
All right. So do we want to do the roll now or do we want to do it after?
We could do it after, I guess.
Okay. All right. So tip of the week is where I go through and give a tip, whether it could be, let's say, like survival or it can be gaming. But it's something that has to do with survival gaming, and this is my tip of the week.
Oh, we're having an issue. Oh, here we go.
Oh no, is your there it goes. All right, so for this tip, I wanted to talk about how 7 Days to Die, since it was brought up that we don't talk about 7 Days to Die enough, I figured I'd give a 7 Days to Die tip. And this is something that I learned from Heisenberg. So one thing to do when you first are starting out, you can secure your base really quickly with wood frames. So even if you're stuck in the middle of nowhere and you're starting out in a game that doesn't, in an area of the game that doesn't seem very secure, if you can go around, gather wood, and put it together, you can put together these wood frames and pretty much secure yourself. I mean, the first time that we played, there was just a rock that we built wood frames around just to secure ourselves for that first night. So if you're just starting out, make sure that you gather a bunch of wood and then put together these wood frames. And that way, if you do get stuck, because once night falls, you'll have a bunch of zombies that are coming at you in this game. So it's really important to turn around, try to secure yourself as much as you can before nightfall so that when night does come, you're in an enclosed area that there's no way for the zombies to get in. Because one thing you learn about this game is that over time, like each night, the zombies, there's more of them. You'll have these different hordes that come at you. It gets tougher and tougher. So you need to continually be upgrading your base. So you may not start out with this as your base, this could be just as I said, something that's on the side of a rock. And then you can move on to an actual house or something like that. Once you get in the house, you'll still want to secure it up with the wood frames, reinforce all the walls, block things off. One thing you can do is make traps so that if you have a wood frame that's maybe covering a hole in the floor, so that when zombies, if they do break into your house, you can remove that hole and they'll fall through the floor. So there's a lot of things you can do with that. So one of the main things in this game are those wood frames to get started. It's an excellent way to secure yourself and make it so you don't get overrun in the first night. So that is my tip of the week.
Thank you very much, Brian. And I guess we can roll now.
All right.
Go ahead and roll. I'm gonna get the link of the server.
Yeah, this is Dreamfall Chapters, and I did put a link for it in chat a little while ago. But yeah, Dreamfall Chapters has a very good rating on Steam, so people seem to really like it. All right. So the winner of this, it says me just because I entered the thing. I'm gonna roll again.
Nice job.
Right, No One Rage.
There we go. Yep. No One Rage. Congratulations.
No One Rage. He's been a listener for a long time, so thank you for listening.
Yes. You can check out the Uprising PvP. They're actually doing a wipe. They actually just did a wipe on 5/15.
So now is the time to start in.
So this is a fairly fresh server, UprisingServer.com. They also have a Rust server, so you can check that out as well. But it's a 5x wiped on the 15th, so it's you know, less than 2 weeks wiped. And you can check
so you're
that
not
out.
Gonna have all those huge bases yet. So
no, not at this
and
point.
It's a pretty fast build, so you'd be able to catch up pretty quick.
Exactly with that. So check that out. UprisingServer.com. Wanna thank Supa and the people over there for giving us these games to give away.
Yep.
Okay, Brian, where can people find you online?
All right, so if you want to find me at Boise Computer on Twitter, but usually I'm on the Infection Podcast account. So if you need to get us some information, as Nick said, email us first, contact at infectionpodcast.com. But if you find something interesting through the week, you're more than welcome to retweet us that. If you want to get my personal blog, it's biteoftech.com. That's B-I-T-E of tech.com. And also go to our website. Make sure you join our TeamSpeak when you're going to be playing next time. If you have a group of friends that want to play, you're looking for a place to hang out and talk, jump in there throughout the week and also join our Steam group. It's a great way to see. Well, you send out notifications of when our live stream is happening. Maybe you're listening to this after the fact. If you're on your computer, you'll get a notification right inside of Steam that we're getting ready to start, so you can jump in. Also, when we do our game of the week, it sends out a notification, a reminder for that. Also, you can look up how much what game is going to be coming out, so you have a little bit of advanced warning, maybe either to get the game or to pre-download it. But you can see what the upcoming game of the week is on our event calendar inside of Steam. So that's it.
Yes, you can do that. Thank you very much, Brian. This Friday, coming up, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, CSGO will be the game. Twitch.tv/Langun44. And you're able to join in and play that if you have CSGO. And we'll announce next week's game. It'll be in the Steam group. So, if you're in the Steam group, you'll see before Tuesday what the actual game is. Like Brian said, join the Steam group. 356
And then Unicorn
members.
Just said he's going to be giving away a copy to the worst CSGO player. He's going to be giving a game away, a game that's worth up to $50.
So. I may have to play then because I am probably the worst person. So. They have to
so
play.
Yeah, so we'll be giving Unicorn Joe will be giving away, and if you want to check out his Twitch, it's twitch.tv/UnicornJoe with no E on the end.
Yes, Unicorn Joe, no
and then
E.
Also for my own personal plug,
you already had your segment, but fine, go ahead.
Yes, we have some secret project that we're working on, and so if you do any kind of 3D design, maybe making assets, things like that, if you do rigging, if you do any of those things, and if you do those things, you know what I'm talking about, and you're interested in getting involved in a fun upcoming project, you should get a hold of me. So contact at infectionpodcast.com and we'll get more information. So see if you'd like to get to be a part of it. So I can't really talk about it, what it is, because it's secret.
Yeah, it's a secret. It's super, such secret. Much
super
wow.
Super secret.
Yeah. So check that out. Again, we are live every Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here, twitch.tv/infectionpod. Twitch.tv/infectionpodcast. I was getting screwed up with our Twitter. Our Twitter is at infectioncast, C-A-S-T. Subscribe to us on YouTube and do all of that other stuff. Alrighty, guys, that is going to do it for episode 71 of Infection, the Survival Podcast. My name is Nick Craig. InfectionPodcast.com is the website. We'll see you next week for Infection. Have a great week, everybody.